All right, last week we ended looking at the first part of chapter 20, which talked about Paul's beginning his journey home and stopping off through Macedonia and through Greece. We talked about his entourage that he was carrying with him, and some really who represented every part of where he had been. And then we came to, at the end of that when they got to Troas, they were going to a larger port, Assos, to catch a larger boat to be able to take them back. And this was a little journey that I don't have, we don't have the map this week, but it kind of went around a little peninsula, part of the peninsula that it was kind of a treacherous little journey. And evidently what he did is he sent all of those other guys on before him, and he stayed in Troas to teach and preach for a little longer. And stayed there for 7 days, and so and this would have been about a 20-mile trip, and so he finds himself there in Troas, and wanting to take advantage of that, he of course preached and taught, and did that late into the night. So pick up with me in verse 7. With what happens next. So on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. And you complain when you're late to lunch. Till midnight. And there were many lamps in the upstairs room where they were meeting. And seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story window and was picked up dead. Paul went down and threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. And he said, "Don't be alarmed." He said, "He is alive." And then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after that, he talked until daylight. And then he left. And the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
How would you like to have been at that?
Do you think he had their attention after that happened? If they were dozing off before.
I bet there wasn't.
But you can imagine it, and most of you growing up in the South, and there have been times we haven't had air conditioning. And so what do? You open up all the windows. As a matter of fact, we grew up, we had air conditioning, but it cost a lot of money. So we didn't use air conditioning all the time. And we had we only had one floor, but we had a big hall fan, an attic fan. And I mean, it probably wasn't as big as I remember, but I remember it being big. And Mom and Dad at night would open up those windows and turn on that attic fan. And that's how we slept.
All we had was a funeral home fans.
And Debbie made you stand there and do that. But yeah, and so that was the thing. I imagine, I mean, growing up in South Louisiana, it was hot, so, muggy. But he would, I imagine being in this room with all of these people, Paul teaching, and it would just get warmer and warmer. And there he moved to the window maybe to get a little fresh air, maybe to try to wake up a little bit, and went to sleep. And there he went. Now, a couple of things I don't want you to miss that are just kind of that are important to us that are kind of in passing. Notice that it says on the first day of the week, so they gathered together to break bread. This is the first time in Scripture that it specifically mentions them worshiping on the first day of the week. That's important how they, you know, it mentions that some, it mentions them preaching in the Sabbath and then gathering together. But here it would be the first day of the week. Now, again, I don't know if this would be them meeting Saturday night, Paul preaching into Sunday morning, if you will remember. The Hebrew, the Jewish way of doing time, as you see in the Bible often, is it was evening. Remember with creation, it was evening and it was morning the first day of the week. And so the Jewish way of reckoning time began at sunset. Okay, so at sunset. And so when the Jews celebrate the Sabbath, it begins Friday night at sunset and goes to Saturday night at sunset. And so that's why when Jesus is hanging on the cross on Friday, they've got to hurry and get him in the ground before the Sabbath comes. So he dies at 3 o'clock and they got to get him in the tomb by 5:30 because it's sunset. Okay. And so don't know if that's what's going on here. So it's a late Saturday night, early Sunday morning service. It's the Roman way, but remember now Luke is Greek. The Roman way is how we do it, and that's from midnight to midnight, how we count days. And so that was kind of, that's the Roman way that the Western world kept time of days, but for them it was from sunset to sunset. But anyway, this is the first specific meeting, so whether it was Saturday night or Sunday night, into Sunday morning, it depends on whether Luke was telling time by the Jewish method or using the Roman reckoning from midnight to midnight. And it gives us some glimpse to what the early Christian worship was like. Because again, he's dealing with the Gentiles here. So even though there are some Jews involved, it's come, again, a little different worship than what they had when they went to the synagogue to preach to the Jews. And so notice what some of the important parts of it were. It was worship. It was the breaking of bread, Lord's Supper. It was preaching and teaching. And by the way, they were good Baptists, so they also usually ate a full meal together too. And so they would eat. So they would break bread together, observing the Lord's Supper, but also with a larger meal where they would eat. And then end with the Lord's Supper. And, you know, this story of Eutychus is kind of, you know, again, Luke picked and chose which stories, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, which stories to include. And so, I mean, remember sometimes they went a year and a half and he just said they were there and preached the gospel. And that's all he tells us. But here, just on this 7-day trip, he tells us this sweet anecdote about Eutychus and him falling asleep, the fall killing him. It says here that Paul went and laid on him. Now, do you remember for those of you who were part of this a couple of years ago when we were studying Elijah and Elisha, do you remember when the widow's son died? Remember what he did? He went up and he laid on top of him, and that was what he did, and the God raised him from the dead. And again, we see that that method used by Paul to bring a miracle that God performed to bring him back to life. Remember in the New Testament there are several resurrection stories. You know, Jesus raised the widow's son at Nain. You had Jairus' daughter who was raised. You had Lazarus who was raised. And then you had Dorcas raised by Peter. And then I already mentioned that both Elijah and Elisha had resurrection stories in their ministry. And both did the where they laid on top of the child who had died. So I also want you to remember when this happened. They had just celebrated what? The verse before. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread. They just celebrated the Passover. What happened at the Passover? Who was killed? Jesus was. And what are they celebrating on the first day of the week after the Passover? His resurrection. And so this young boy would have died. It's not just Sunday. But what is it? It's Resurrection Sunday. It's the anniversary of Jesus' resurrection on the day after Passover, or the first day of the week after Passover. And so, obviously, Paul's probably teaching and preaching on that. And then they see this young boy resurrected to life. Paul sends him home with his family to make sure he's okay and to recover, for them maybe to recover. And then he calls everybody else back in and keeps preaching and teaching until the sun comes up. So how many of y'all are going to be with me if we do that next week? We start at sunset and go to sunrise. So anyways, now I think there are a couple of things that we learn. Again, Eutychus' recovery, it reminds them again of the power of God. And then he continued to preach. And so what have we said about the miracles, why they happened? To give opportunity for the gospel. And so Paul, even right after it happened, seizes the moment to continue to teach and preach and show them and teach them about Jesus. And it's in that that they all find comfort. And I can imagine how that changed their lives. All right, any questions about the story of Eutychus?
Interesting that before they talked about Paul doing numerous miracles, and then they picked this one just
to tell us. Yeah,
yeah.
And that's again, Luke could have put many more in, but this is the one the Spirit led him to put in. And again, that demonstration, I mean, raising a young boy from the dead, that's pretty powerful. And how do you think that impacted that church? Even if, you know, Paul preaches all night and then gets on a boat and goes away. And this would be really his last time at Troas. And yet he leaves them preaching and sharing. He leaves them with this miracle of this young boy raised from the dead.
Something I'll never forget.
Yeah. Never forget, neither would the whole community.
I think too, Pastor, for people who might, you know, doubt Well, he wasn't really dead. Well, you know, Luke was a physician, so anybody should have known. Luke would have known
whether he was alive. And I just like the wording of it. He fell out the window and they picked him up dead.
To the point.
I've been he didn't go to sleep again.
Do you think that would help with anybody that goes to sleep here?
We didn't have a balcony. Yeah, we didn't have a balcony. That's not good.
Hey, some of you balcony folks might want to move down. I'm looking at the bakers, as I say.
No, they do sleep, get punched.
You know, well, the truth is, I have preached 7 or 8 hours before, and on some of my mission trips, it's preacher talk, and it's an hour or 2 hours is weary, but it's when I was younger. Yeah, I hadn't done that in a while.
In his defense, he has cut it shorter, too, because the music went a little low.
There's nothing wrong with his hearing.
The Lord, again, I try to give what God's given to me, and I keep y'all long sometimes too.
But team, when you pray all night sometimes, don't you?
I do. I have. I was praying at 2:30 this morning, but that was mainly because the dog woke me up because of the third.
Lord, don't
let
me kill
him. Anyways. All right, look at verse 13. And so look at what Luke says. So we went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, and this is what I was referring to earlier, where we were going to take Paul aboard. And he had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. And when we met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. And you always wondered where that word came from, didn't you? The next day, we set sail from there and arrived at Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos. And on the following day, we arrived at Miletus. And Paul decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost is how long after?
50 days
after Easter. And so, and Pentecost is the celebration of the first fruits harvest, which made it the appropriate harvest celebration for the day of the descent of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is what we refer to it. For them, it was the harvest, first fruits harvest festival, is how the Jews celebrated. And so the day they were to bring the first fruits from their harvest to give and sacrifice to God was the day that God produced the first harvest of the church. And so Paul wanted to get there to celebrate that day when the Holy Spirit descended on the church there in Jerusalem. And that would have been a fairly neat experience, wouldn't it, to be in the upper room where the Holy Spirit descended, meeting with the Jerusalem church on the anniversary of that day. When we were in Jerusalem a couple of years ago and were in the upper room, it was wall to wall. The room is really not a lot larger than this room here, a little bit. I think maybe the size of two of these rooms, if my memory is right. It was hard to tell because we were wall to wall. I mean, you barely had the room to stand where you were standing, and it was hard to move around in there. But what was interesting is people were praying and singing all around the room in about 20 different languages. And as I'm standing there thinking, this is what Pentecost sounded like. Even if this isn't a miracle and people are just speaking and praying in their own language, but we had some Germans over here and some Japanese over here and some Koreans over here and some other Europeans, and I don't know where they were from, and then all of us from Alabama. That's what I'm saying, with our own language. Because there were, 120 of us. It was just, for me, it was one of the special moments of the trip, just listening to people singing and praying in their, out loud in their languages in that room where the Holy Spirit had fallen and Paul and Peter had gone out and preached and people heard in their own language. So Paul's wanting to get back there. And so again, notice Luke says, we did this, and then Paul. And so again, this is where Paul walked the 20 miles instead of riding the boat around. And they were probably in a smaller vessel at that time and then got a larger seagoing ship there at Miletus in order to cross over or in order to cross over to Miletus from Assos. Paul catches up with them. They get on the boat to go. There's a lot of detail here, but here I want you to listen to this. These little cities, you know, he mentions there, Mytilene and the others. So from Assos they went to Mytilene, which was the chief city on the island of Lesbos, and it's located on the eastern shore of that island. And then the next day took them to just off the shore of the island of Chios. And Chios, by the way, this isn't biblical, but it's interesting to me, was the home of the poet Homer. That's where Homer was from. And the following day, they passed by the island of Samos. Now, some of you know Homer. This was important to me as growing up. But this Samos is the home of a mathematician named Pythagoras. That's where he lived. And then on the final day, they sailed on into Miletus. And Miletus was the major Asian city of that area in Paul's day. And so it lay on the shore, the south shore of the Latonian Gulf at the mouth of the Meanderer River. You ever heard somebody say, you're meandering? Well, this was the Meanderer River for that, probably because it slow curved around a lot to get there. So that's the origin of that word. It's interesting that Paul decided not to stop in Ephesus because he was in such a hurry to get to Jerusalem. And then the next verse tells us how he sent for the elders of Ephesus to come meet him at Miletus. That was about 30 miles or so from Ephesus and was there on that main coastal road, and that's verse 17. And so I think that's where we had stopped at. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the city. And when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came to the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. And although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must return to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And so here he summarizes again in this, the beginning of this farewell address to the Ephesian elders, what he's attempted to do there. So we're out of time. So let's stop there. We'll pick back up in verse 17 again next week, and we'll break that down and talk about his comments there. His kind of farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Well, let's pray together. Luke, would you lead us as we pray, please?
Sure. Father, we love you, Lord, and we just give you all the praise today, and just thank you for the time that we've had together to fellowship and to study your word. Thank you for Brother Tiemann bringing the message, and we thank you especially for the event at Chappie's tonight, and for all those who have come out to support our efforts to have camp for the kids this summer, and thank you for blessing us, and give us a good week. In Jesus' name, amen.